and welcome to Let's Talk Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. We're out of the studio and into the living room of our two amazing guests. Thank you so much for welcoming us into the space. If there's slurred speech, I do apologize. We're talking about lesbian potlucks, and needless to say, there were some beverages in the room. It wouldn't be a lesbian potluck otherwise.
And cupcakes.
And they were amazing cupcakes. Yes. And I don't think it'd be a lesbian potluck either if the cupcakes, at least one was vegan. So I think that's an appropriate stereotype I'm willing to make. So thank you so much, Joyce and Marion, for joining us. Thank you
You're welcome.
For us joining you, really.
Yes, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you're here.
Excellent. So do you want to... Because you, Sebastian, brought
yes.
the topic up to my attention, the idea of a lesbian potluck. So why don't you explain what you think it is? And then we'll hand it over to the experts to kind of guide us more correctly.
Ooh,
from there.
Oh yeah, no, this all comes out of a conversation with my mother, who
is a lesbian.
She's bisexual.
Oh, okay.
And after she separated with my father in the early 80s, she was out looking for a partner of any variety, really. And the
hope mom's not listening to this.
Oh no, she knows.
Okay.
And she had frequented quite a few potlucks, and I remember asking her, what is the story behind that? And she informed me that in the 80s, there were bars that had lesbian nights, and there were a couple bars that tried to be lesbian bars, but ultimately, you went to the potlucks. And she also presented a series of unspoken rules that were understood about a potluck. And you brought one of three things with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a home-cooked dish. It was a home-cooked meal in a covered dish. You brought a single friend. A single friend who you knew needed to get out of the house more often. Or you brought a bottle of booze. And the idea was that if you were struggling for something to talk about, you could always ask somebody what was the recipe for what you were eating. So you had that to talk about. The single friend was, you know, the whole point was, you know, making connections and getting dates. And if you're not going to find love, you can at least watch a friend find love, because that's also okay. And the booze is just there to make the party into a party. And if everybody did this, if everybody brought at least one of those three things, and most people brought two out of three, then it would be a fun party and somebody would be going home with a new girlfriend.
Wow.
Is that accurate?
I'd like to ask, what city are you speaking of?
This is Burlington.
Burlington, okay, so near Toronto.
Yeah, a bedroom community,
okay.
Suburb of Toronto.
Okay. I really think it would depend on the size of
the community,
whether you were urban or rural, or, yeah, I think that makes a difference, too. And there are certainly rules of potluck. absolutely, there are rules. And they're very unspoken. And
so, should we hazard to speak them now?
Sure.
So what are the rules?
Well, if you are the hostess of the potluck, it is your job to, when you invite people, you can't get a room of lesbians together without having at least one, or if not more, exes in the room. So you have to clear that first of all. And if you cannot clear it, you do not hold the event.
Oh my God.
And we actually experienced this just a couple of weeks ago in an event that we canceled, because it would put two particular exes together that would have been volatile. And so rather than not invite someone in small communities, and even in urban centers, the lesbian community is small,
mm-hmm.
right? Who you know is usually a small group. So we chose not to have the event, as opposed to putting just a
ruining
mess
everyone's evening
in our home.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I always thought that was a stereotype, the idea that every lesbian is some of the lesbian's ex. Like, it's just...
No.
Is it really...
No.
It's accurate that there really is... It is amazing.
My ex at one point walked into the Go Ottawa Club before it burnt down years ago in the 80s and realized she'd slept with everyone in that particular room. There is no myth here. It's slim pickings. And the 80s, 90s are much different than it is now. Mm-hmm. So in the 80s and 90s, we never would have heard of a gluten-free cupcake, right? Or a vegan this or that. Mm-hmm. So everybody would, you would make sure everybody brought a dish, like mm-hmm. you say, something that would feed, 4 to 6 people. And, of course, booze.
And homemade was definitely better than...
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the biggest thing about a lesbian potluck, and we talked about this, is it is an audition. You are auditioning. Let's put it on your level for a minute.
So it's not just I brought Swedish meatballs, but Playboy I made Swedish meatballs that will make you want to date me.
Even if you didn't make them, you put them in your pot.
Right.
And you eat them. And you made them. Right?
They taste oddly like IKEA.
It's my Swedish grandmother's recipe.
Yeah.
It's like the gay boys going into for a walk in the park. I remember the time when nobody had a dog, and then suddenly every gay boy had a dog, and the dog was the intro to the next gay boy walking down the street.
Right.
And you could see it happening, and I actually saw this shift take place. So it's a little bit like that. It's a potluck was an audition to your abilities.
What was the best potluck audition meal you've had?
That I ever had, other than the hostess? I would have to say a Black Forest cake.
Wow.
Ooh.
To all intents and purposes, it was homemade.
Wow. What about yourself, Joyce?
I'm thinking I've had a few good potlucks.
Is this a euphemism or a...
Yeah.
There's a lot of eyebrows.
I think she's talking potlucks.
Probably macaroni and cheese.
Oh, you're coming
forward.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we try to...
Now, that doesn't sound impressive, but if you've ever had homemade macaroni and cheese, and there are people in this world who've never had
We're
homemade...
We're not talking KD.
Yeah, exactly. She homemade. And was it like oven-baked, so it had that nice crust on top? Oh,
absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I would like to qualify when I say audition. It doesn't mean I approve of that. Mm. That's the horizontal aggression thing that women get fed, right, from the time that they're little girls, that my meal's better than your meal, my laundry's cleaner than your laundry. Like that, we are fed that from a very early age.
But it does give you a convenient in. Like you see somebody, you're like, tell me what she cooked. And then you go up to her like, are you the one who made the lasagna?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was so good.
It's an in.
Oh my God.
It's an in.
I never lied. I would say things like, I've never had lasagna like that. In case it was horrible.
Have you ever become better acquainted with somebody who made a hideous dish at a potluck?
No. No.
You can't roll a pie crust. That's it. You're not a good candidate.
But I think.
Well, then you got to get the whole butch femme thing in there.
Mm.
Oh.
So how does that relate to potlucks?
Those are in the olden days when you walk 2 miles up the hill to the potluck and 2 miles down the hill to the potluck. Both ways you walk.
Yeah, this is a...
Is that a euphemism?
Is this a metaphor?
I've met a couple of lovely butch women at potlucks, and I don't expect them to bring anything. No. Other than maybe the beer.
A case
whatever.
Of beer, yeah.
Yeah, or a bag of buns.
There are women who definitely come to potlucks who do not bring the dish.
Mm.
They are the dish.
They are the dish.
Oh.
That's a little
so
sexist.
Do these certain women know that they're the dish?
Yes. They audition. Don't kid yourself. They audition as well. Their shirts are immaculately pressed. Their hair is perfect. Like, they know exactly what they're doing.
And I'm sitting here thinking about the young women of today thinking, oh my God, this is so sexist.
Yes.
And
I'm sure they
but
are thinking
that's
that.
What it was like.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I find that really sexist, though, because I think now of where the gay community is.
Mm-hmm.
Gay male? Or
yeah, gay male okay. community. Right now, if you don't have a six-pack of abs mm-hmm. on Grindr, no one's swiping left. No mm-hmm. one is going to be talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the idea of that kind of beauty standard, if it's a fresh... fresh pressed shirt or a six pack. We're certainly seeing that even in today, like that hasn't changed.
Well, it's the performance of gender, and it's just that what counts as being typical of your gender is changing over time.
Absolutely, yeah.
We belong to a meetup group. I won't name them. They know who they are, and it's older women, older lesbian women, and so there's much. I'm very comfortable with it because they are very much more in the butch femme kind of categories. Not horrendously so, but they are there. It's still there. It is still there. But I find when I'm around younger people, I mean, I couldn't say a potluck because I don't think I've been to a potluck with young women. It's much more androgynous. It's much more, I can't really define who's who anymore. I get confused, and I don't always understand the whole gluten, vegan, food free, nutrient free, whatever free food. I don't understand all that, so I probably wouldn't do. I'd probably bring a bottle of wine these days. Be safer.
Well, actually, I mentioned earlier that because we brought wine, and I said, you know, is it because we knew about the booze rule, and you said that actually it's often beer.
Yeah,
because the more butch lesbian between a six pack or a 2-4 of beers, like
maybe a bottle of whiskey.
Whiskey's always a good option.
And I think though too, in those days, there wasn't so much about drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm. Oh goodness, you know, everybody got the car and went home after, you know? Didn't they?
And I lived in a rural community, so you know, I would stay sober. I wouldn't drink. No, actually, my partner didn't drink at that time. Mm-hmm. So one of us were always, you know, able to do that.
But. And then you got to remember this indoor and outdoor. So in the summer, you could have an outdoor potluck, and that's a totally different scene than the cooler weather indoor sort of
thing.
Well,
let's get to that in just a few minutes.
I'm super curious about this. Yeah.
Maybe we should have a themed event in the outdoor potluck.
Actually, one of my favorite potluck things, this is a little bit off topic. You're probably going to edit me out, but that's fine. One of my favorite things that I've ever made for a potluck is, you make two meatloafs in a springform pan. Mm-hmm. And then you get some fried onions and fried mushrooms, and then you put it on top of one of them, and you put the other one on top. You
Good
cover
grief.
The whole thing in mashed potatoes, very creamy mashed potatoes. And then you put oven-roasted garlic on top as little rosettes.
Yeah.
And then it looks like a cake.
A cake.
You have a beefcake.
Oh.
When I made that, people fought over it. At first, everyone was staring at it at the corner of their eye, like, that cake looks weird. That frosting doesn't look right. And like, yeah, it's made of potato. They'd be like, no one's going to eat that. I took a slice out, and they're like, oh my god, it's solid beef. And then it disappeared in 5 minutes.
Now that takes, you know, and that's exactly what people are looking for in a potluck.
Yeah.
Right? A bit of creativity, a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We did a theme party. So myself and Sebastian were roommates for a while.
Themes are good.
And we for our parties, we introduced, our themes went on like a house on fire. Mm. Well, not actually a house on fire. But it was, we were very successful with our themes. But we made very clear we were using lesbian potluck rules.
Yeah.
A food, a drink, or a friend.
Yeah.
And we had a 70s themed potluck party.
You're going to talk about my aspic, aren't you?
I am talking about your aspic, yeah. And I think the only time in my life the only time I've ever bought anchovy paste, I actually still have it in the cupboard somewhere.
Yeah.
But we made aspics. Do you want to tell a little bit
about
that?
So, for those of you who don't know what an aspic is basically a savory flavored gelatin mold. And so the aspic that I made had layers in it. So when you saw it from the side, you could see like vegetables at the top and then cubed cheese and then cubed meat. And because it was a 70s theme and
big in nursing homes in England.
Yeah, I wanted to keep it on theme. And so everything was out of a can. It was canned ham and canned beans. And it was really gross. But there was a couple vegans at the party. So I got agar-agar instead of gelatin, which is made from
animal.
From animal.
Yeah.
Agar is made of seaweed. But I had never worked with it before, and it was a little bit too firm. And we learned that it was too firm because at one point in time, I put my full body weight on this aspic. Like, my feet were off the ground, and it was still keeping its shape.
Oh, my God.
It's bulletproof meat jelly.
But it was... It was beef bouillon flavored, so I could tell you that. And it had a little bit of sage in there to really bring out the beef taste. Except I actually tried some, and it was like chewing on an eraser. It was a delicious eraser, but it was like chewing on a pink eraser with like sage and beef bouillon flavor. And so many photos were taken of that aspect, like this bulletproof aspect that you could drive a car over and the car would be damaged. And it was...
They could wrap a black box in it in the plane and everything would be okay. Yeah.
But somebody did bring... what is it called when you put bits on crackers?
Canapes?
Yeah, somebody brought canapes. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of people there in their young 20s who had never actually had a canapé before.
Oh, well, they're just not raised right.
You know, I don't disagree with you on this, actually.
No, are you trying to suggest that everybody should have canapés?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're great food.
Do you remember the movie Mermaids with Cher?
And
everything she made,
she only knew how to...
toothpicks.
Yes. Yeah. And it was... this was
she never did anything but finger foods.
And it was a Winona Ryder. I actually have it at home. I watch it every so often.
Yeah, but I always remember her and her little...
And a young Christina Ricci as well. And something that they mentioned was the fact that they ate, you know, 3 square meals a day, full vitamins. You know, they had the full food pyramid with the meat and the vegetables and but it was all in the form of finger foods.
Yeah.
And it starred Cher, so of course I've seen it multiple times.
Of course.
It's a classic.
It is a classic.
Well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and when we get back, we are going to be talking about
outdoors?
A summer potluck.
Yeah.
How is that different? Now, I've mentioned to our listeners last week, I played Estonia's Verona, their submission to the Eurovision Song Contest, because we are covering the Eurovision Song Contest again this year. We're very excited. Bit of drama, may not happen, a lot of politics happening. It was Eurovision, and it's in the Ukraine, so hopefully Russia don't invade. But... this song is called Yodel It, and the reason why I've chosen this one, it's from Romania, not Switzerland, which I thought was interesting, and it's called Yodel It, and it is it's like if yodeling met Ed Sheeran and like a singer, it's like a pop meets yodeling, it's interesting, it's but very Eurovision.
Bette Midler has already done that.
Pop yodeling?
Yeah.
Well,
she has.
We'll see. Anyway, this is Romania's entry. It's called Yodel It, and we'll be back just after this.
Hey, all you out there, wanna sing this out? Yodel it, yodel it. You always run away, you always say no to the right things. Don't try to hide the light inside of you. Today might be the day when you make it, baby. So bring it on, I'm a dreamer. If you don't believe it, come and see me, I'll teach you. If you never try, you'll never be alive. You are gonna miss out on this ride. Of doing all this work you really don't want to be doing. But you'll be fine, it's time to feel alive. Just start for reaching for the stars and keep on moving.
So bring it on, I'm a dreamer. If you don't believe it, come and see me, I'll teach you.
If you never try, you'll never be alive. You are gonna miss out on this ride.
Yeah.
welcome back. That was Yodlit, Romania's entry to this this year's Eurovision Song Contest. I'm not going to lie, I played this at the office, and about an hour later, my executive director was cursing my name because the yodeling was stuck in his head and he couldn't shift it. So you're welcome, everybody, our faithful listeners who are now stuck with yodeling.
Oh. My middle daughter told me years ago when she was just a teenager, whenever you get a song stuck in your head, just sing Madonna's Like a Virgin.
It's a good way of cleansing the palate.
And then I get Like a Virgin stuck in my head.
I would go with Abba's Take a Chance on Me.
Oh, that's a good song.
Because that bit at the end with like, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, chance. And like with the music cuts out and they're just doing that cleanses the mental palate so quickly.
What is a good song to play at a lesbian
potluck?
Shameless segue. But
Like a Virgin.
What's the soundtrack? How do you soundtrack a lesbian potluck?
That's a very good question. Very good question.
Is it soft jazz?
Clearly it depends on the host.
Is there a simple man with a ukulele?
Yeah, I think it depends on what your numbers are. So it, you know. But outdoors, for example, I've been to potlucks at trailer parks and they usually have country music playing, right? So I think it depends on your crowd.
In the winter, indoors, the hockey game in the other room.
Yeah. that's where
all the butch lesbians are in the hockey game.
Yeah, and then there's the, the Katie Lang and the of the 80s. And, there's different. Melissa Etheridge, of course, 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. She's still alive.
Yeah, she's coming to Bluesfest in Ottawa.
Yes, she is.
So really what you're saying is lesbian folk rock.
because the method of music has changed so much. I mean, now I can put on you can plug in your thing, your phone. And have music on it.
Yeah.
iPod or...
You could probably have a lesbian folk rock Spotify playlist.
Right, whereas back in the day you would have
like just put
a cassette player or something that you would have, and then a CD player that you would have to change CDs on. So I think it's just the method has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But usually what that would be like you put on like an album and that's your
listening. But not the twangy, not the like lesbian guitar singing about her ovaries kind of music, not that stuff. You know, you want something with a bit of oomph to it. Preferably. For me, anyway. I mean, I'm sure lots of women like that other.
And I think a lot of, oftentimes, it was women's music.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So no Nickelback, like that was...
No. I think we're talking more like Nina Simone.
Okay.
Or you might probably, like, would you get an adventurous lesbian who's like, let's play some Grace Jones?
Sure.
Or is that a little bit too out there?
Well, I mean, there was always one. Always be one or two
mentioned a potluck in a trailer park,
right?
Like what are the, like was outdoor venues exclusively trailer parks? Like what are the
I've been at pool parties, you know, where you know lesbians, they all bring their dogs and the dogs have more fun in the pool than the lesbians do, but you know. But there's lots of different ways to do it. It's just when you're outside, there's usually more up and about movement, right? People are going in and out of the pool or in and out of the house to use the toilet, or there's more mingle. So I like the outdoor scene
You're in the country, there's the bonfire.
Yeah, and then you go late into night, right? Yeah.
How did word get out with these things? Was it always like phone trees or something? How would you... I mean, this was before Facebook and this was before like Twitter or something like that. You couldn't just...
Word of mouth. There was a group in Owen Sound called PALS, People of Alternate Lifestyles. It was a very safe title, even though it wasn't really appropriate by today's standards, right? But it was all done by telephone. And before anyone could go, they would have to go and two people from the group would go and meet with them to make sure they were safe.
Oh.
Otherwise, the location would not be disclosed. But this was in the days where people showed up with baseball bats.
Oh.
So you would have to sort of vet the people coming, right?
Wow.
And then it was usually a house in the country and everybody would get together. And you'd either crash there or drive home, crash in your car, one or the other. But the, it's changed a lot, though, since then, because it's not, so unsafe anymore. Like, mm-hmm. say, social media, you can, you know, and you're in a city, right? So I don't know if out in the country you would still maybe do things a little differently just to keep people safe, right? Not everything has changed.
Well, I think, okay, so my dad's family lives in the part of Quebec that people forget is inhabited because it's so far away from absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, well, also I have on my mother's side people who live all over sort of northern and southwestern Ontario, sort of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, obviously I can't speak to how things were in the 70s, 80s, and mm-hmm. possibly even the 90s, but generally now there's a very strong live and let live mm. kind of attitude in the countryside of like, eh, whatever, you're not harming anyone, just mm-hmm. you know, let them be. And so it's really peculiar, actually. I've heard of more people from bedroom communities now. If you speak to youth who actually have been victims of gay bashing right. or bullying or something like that, it's usually in the suburbs that it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably yeah. because, like, the emphasis on normalcy. Whereas in the countryside, it's a little bit more acceptable to be weird. So, I mean, I knew people right. from...
And there's sheep.
And there's sheep.
Right.
Like...
Well, people who live with sheep, they have a different attitude. Okay. Right?
I was going to say, there's somebody in Ancaster. So Ancaster being a small...
Like, Hamilton.
A farming community yeah,
but,
just out of...
Right, but yeah. it's a rich farming community. Yeah. They're not...
True, yeah. but still, there was this one person. He was a known person. When you get into small communities, you have this one person that everybody knows, even if you don't know them. Mm. And it was a guy who rode around town with a pet chicken in his bicycle basket, and it was just the chicken guy. And he would go into the LCBO sometimes, and he would ask somebody, you know, could you watch my chicken while I'm in there? And he didn't care who they were, if he knew them or not, but, like, this sort of bizarre, eccentric behavior when you're in the, like, the further you are from bigger cities, the more common this becomes.
Yeah.
And so, I think, because, like, in Ville-Marie, not Ville-Marie, the suburb of Montreal, but Ville-Marie, the small community outside of Témiscamingue, out yeah. in western mm-hmm. Quebec. Everybody there that I've spoken to, they view being gay or lesbian or bi or trans or something like that, they just view it as being an eccentricity. It's like mm-hmm. being the chicken guy. Like, you're not hurting anyone. It's fine. At least that's how it is now.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, the big question I have is... You know, how do you get lesbians to go to a thing?
See, and in my experience and
are you still trying to figure this out?
No, I think I got it.
By Jove.
Because we're banking on a meatloaf cake with mashed potatoes. Like, that's
absolutely. There is one beef tomorrow cakes, night. Yeah. If you could prepare me one, I'll take it.
Oh, is there really?
There is wow. one tomorrow night.
Yeah, yes, there is. I'm going to the Broadway
You're
show.
You're going out.
Yeah.
So my experience is in a rural community where people not so much are out. Mm. It's almost like the Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so someone's having a potluck mm-hmm. and you connect through the railroad. The Underground Railroad.
So,
and
just for our listeners, do you want to quickly explain?
Well, in terms of it's like a telephone tree. This is where the potluck is. This is who is hosting it, and are you and so and so going? Blah blah blah. And the information travels very quickly. And 20 to 30 people sometimes.
Oh gosh! Yeah, easily.
And it wasn't in the newspaper. It's not anywhere. And if you're walking down the street, people wouldn't even know what was going on in the house.
And there was a sort of a code of silence that you didn't speak about who was there.
Absolutely.
Right? Especially small town.
And you didn't invite anyone to go unless it went through kind of, I'd like to bring so-and-so, are you okay with that? Because we
right.
had women who were not out mm. in their
yeah.
jobs.
Yeah.
Mm. We had women working in school systems, mm-hmm. In religious organizations mm-hmm. that were at risk of losing their jobs mm-hmm. if they were known.
You also had abusive women mm-hmm. that were not safe to have at mm-hmm. some things if an
Absolutely.
Ex was there.
People tend to forget that that there are women in either straight or same-sex mm-hmm. relationships that are abusive women.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there's lots of different things you sort of had to be aware of, and it just wasn't written down. You just, mm-hmm. you knew that, mm-hmm. you know.
Sounds like
you,
a logistical nightmare.
But it wasn't. It was. I think it's more of a logistical nightmare now with all the social media and everything that
I was
going to
say
on.
Because now you do a Facebook event and you invite 150 people. 50 people said they might go, and you can expect probably 10.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say
and,
3.
Well, you never know.
The way that our house parties went is we would invite 300 people. 100 people said they would go. 80 people showed up, but only 20 of the people who showed up
were there at the same time.
No, yeah. Only 20 of the people who showed up were the people who said they would go. So you had like this weird combination of people who didn't answer at all, and then you had a whole bunch of people who said they were going to be there who were never
the
there.
The other pieces, yeah. You don't know any of these people.
Well,
between the two of us.
You don't know a lot of the people, perhaps. Whereas at these events, with the Underground Railroad, it was all face-to-face.
Yeah.
There wasn't a click on a keyboard.
That was the question I was going to raise. Yeah. Because the reason why we like the lesbian potluck rule is because it is such a great way of building community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I may have misunderstood is that it's not building community, but rather it's born from community building. Insofar as, you know, you wouldn't even get know the door number without having met face to face with somebody, without having had that phone call and the conversation.
Right.
And so there's already the community there. And I think that may have been a step that we're missing. Because we had a sausage party. Where everybody was to bring a different type of sausage.
It was
a
sausage theme party,
and mustards and so on, and it was a lot of fun, and we barbecued sausages. But we had so many people, Facebook, maybe they're going, they're not going.
Yeah.
But it's always when you give them a phone call they're going to actually show up. Mm-hmm. So maybe the lesson here is that added step, that interpersonal connection, might be something that's being lost by my generation and our generation. That, you know, maybe we don't understand lesbian potlucks. You know, maybe we're like, how'd you get lesbians to a thing? Clearly the answer is you phone them and you have a conversation.
And I think it goes beyond that, because one of the women at the potluck becomes your hairdresser.
Mm.
And then the other one who owns the photocopy shop, you now take all your photocopying needs to that shop.
Mm.
And you create this community of services. The other thing is, as I was thinking about, especially in years gone by, there were all kinds of little children running out
around,
often at
potlucks,
because we didn't pay for babysitters.
Mm. Good.
The children came.
Yeah.
We couldn't afford to, so the children came as well.
Yeah.
And so
lesbian potlucks are sort of the birth of the Velvet Mafia? Oh, the Velvet Mafia is sort of this sarcastic response to the notion that there's such a thing as a gay agenda.
I see.
And the Velvet Mafia is sort of like this hidden collective of people in positions of power that if somebody does something, then everybody sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? They like conspire against somebody. So if you find out that like a city councillor is gay, then if they find out that a city councillor is homophobic, then, you know, their gay assistant who's in the closet will lose documents, and then their chauffeur who has a lesbian sister will show up late, and like,
I don't think we had that political motivation.
No,
it's like we didn't go anywhere, we didn't do anything, we couldn't hold hands walking down the street, we couldn't go dancing, or you couldn't sneak a kiss on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the kinds of things that could happen at a lesbian
potluck. Interesting, the less urban you were, the more you could dance with your partner in a country pub, because two women dancing together was no biggie.
Mm.
Two men dancing together, they get the crap beaten out of them out back, but two women dancing together was no big thing, as long as you weren't, you know, making out on the dance floor. Mm. It was just two women dancing together and one happened to be leading, you know, which was always lovely.
Do you think that there, I mean, I assume you go still to lesbian potlucks, you said there's one tomorrow. Do you think there's still that pressure? That does it still act as that kind of gateway to a safe space that it may have back in the day?
I'm going to say not. I think it's more about socialization.
It's more socialization, that especially as we get older, that there are women who spend all their time alone, and this is a way for women to get out and talk to other women and chat.
How often do they happen?
Oh, at least once a month. I mean, there's a ton of different groups. Mm-hmm. This is a group that we happen to belong to, of older women. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's...
And when you were younger, they were about once a month as well?
Do I go once a month?
No, you were younger, was there
once a month? Oh, gosh.
I mean, it could be someone's birthday.
I would say at least you would gather up once a month, wouldn't you? There might be a dance, or there might be a, you know, in the country, in Own Sound, there was always the full moon harvest dances and things, and the country women are like, right? And they're not gay, but boy.
But you wish they were.
I wish they were, I'll tell you. Yeah, and of course all the lesbians, we'd go to a potluck, and then we'd all just show up at the country dances and, you know, and have a grand time with all these crazy people. But yeah, I think...
with the chicken ladies.
At least once a month, I would say. Because when you're younger, you tend to go out more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What this reminds me of is, in the gay community, we have suffered culturally from the fear-mongering around the idea that gay men are paedophiles. So that kind of, the stay away from children, the, you know, don't go anywhere with that. And it was so effective that gay men would avoid children.
Right.
And then you couple that with the AIDS crisis, which just wiped out a generation.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we come to intergenerational mentorship or bringing people into the community, that simply doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. We've got
a lot of youth programming now silos the youth. And I can understand the importance of giving youth their own space, but there's a difference between giving somebody their own space and then like siloing them and saying that everyone who is older the age of 25 is a sexual
predator.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be with them. And if you do go with them, there's 20 forms that everybody needs to fill out.
Yeah, everybody needs to fill out.
I actually did, when I was 23, I did have an auntie. And the old, like the gay version of an auntie, which is like somebody who's like one or two generations older than yourself. Mm. It's not a sexual thing. It's not dating. It's not a chicken hawk, as they used to call them. It was just somebody who... Oh, you're not familiar with that term?
Apparently not. Oh. That's okay. I know who the cartoon is.
So it was, I actually did have friends in their 60s when I was 23, and they would just like...
Male friends. Okay,
Gay male friends, openly gay male friends, and they would just sort of like guide me and say, you know, this is... Yeah. These are the possibilities. These are the different ways that you can be a gay man. Don't feel pressured to conform to any one of them. These are your options available. This is how you navigate adulthood. And it was just sort of like all the little bits that my parents couldn't fill in those gaps because they weren't gay men.
They weren't gay men.
And so, and traditionally they were referred to as your auntie. And so I had Auntie Alan, and he was fantastic.
Yes.
And he was also a director, and he was very artsy, and... Told me this hilarious story that had the word Priapus in there. It was fantastic.
Well, I was very lucky because I went to a gay youth group and I became friends with... And I was one of the older ones there.
Mm-hmm.
And I became friends with a guy called Rob who is married to a man. So a very safe household. And they took me under their wing and I went to my first pride parade with them.
Nice.
And it was... But we're talking rural Ontario. That was Belleville. So the whole surrounding area went to this...
I wouldn't call that rural, but okay.
Well,
yeah.
I know what you mean.
I know Belleville.
Not, I lived in Tweed.
So I know
that's,
Tweed.
That's we went to Madoc. Population doubles on the school day. So,
yes.
I mean, that's, that's rural. But then you'd convince somebody to drive you the 20, 30 minutes to Belleville for this... two-hour youth group. And he actually would even drive out to the countryside, pick me up, drive back in for this group.
It
was really great.
Yeah.
But I think we are the exceptions, not the rule.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And the reason why I bring this up is because when I hear the stories of the lesbian potlucks, and you said about the kids running around and you know, knowing somebody and bringing a friend who needs to meet people, I feel like that creates a very safe environment to kind of show them the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't talk to so and so. We mentioned earlier about abusive women. You know,
right,
giving them a heads up who you should maybe avoid, and
also teaching people how to spot red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Which you definitely need to...
I think you want to remember, though, that when you put 30, 40 lesbians into the same space, it's like a family reunion of your most dysfunctional survivors. There's a good chance that 90% of those women are survivors of something.
Yeah.
Right? And... It doesn't go as pretty as you seem to be thinking it might. It can go very
wrong
very quickly.
So before we talk about when it goes wrong, maybe correct me. Is there that degree for younger lesbians, maybe, if you hear about somebody new back in the day coming out of the closet or thinking that they might want to come out of the closet, was there a way of bringing them into the potlucks? Was that something that happened?
My experience is that I was connected to a rape crisis center. And stereotypically, rape crisis centers were run by lesbians. Mm-hmm. So you had to hate men, be a feminist, and a lesbian to work at a rape crisis center.
Burn your bra on Thursdays.
Burn my bra on Thursdays.
Those are expensive. Don't burn them.
And so that was one of the pieces in terms of connecting people. Mm-hmm. Not only did we have the rape crisis center as kind of our front, but we also had the resources in terms of supporting people who were coming out, especially women who were coming out, because there were no other organizations. Now, this is a rural community. We were posting an ad for a job. And you put at the bottom, the little qualifier says women of color, women with disabilities, lesbians, welcome to apply. Mm-hmm. And the newspaper would not post the ad because there were no lesbians in this community.
Oh.
Okay. And that was in the 80s.
Yeah, that'd be late 80s,
yeah,
probably.
Late 80s, yeah. So we had this support system in place, but we also had the Rape Crisis Center who supported women, and actually they often connected the women to the group of women that were having the potluck.
Because something that's always sort of, I found curious about the phenomenon of lesbian potlucks, and because you're always invited by somebody, chances are there's somebody out there who is currently in their 50s or 60s who's never been to one because they just didn't meet one. They just didn't meet someone and they didn't get tapped into that community, as opposed to older gay men. They always knew where the gay bars were because everybody told them to not go there. You know, don't go to that place because it's filled with dirty old men. And you're like, oh, great, my people. I found home. Whereas with the potlucks, if you haven't met the right people, or if you somehow didn't pass the vetting process, then you didn't show.
Or was there, to counter that, was there somebody that, in your potluck circles, that everybody knew was a lesbian, that was the kind of the gateway for people who to kind of get in? Was that something that existed?
I'm thinking those that worked at the Rape Crisis Center, and I mean, not a big group of people, but I think that was a common safe place to go. I mean, the only place in the town where you'd see a rainbow on a door, that's for sure. And women who were a little more androgynous.
But you don't look like a lesbian. Do you know how many times I've got that?
I remember taking this one young woman
you should say
to her
which
first
one.
Pride in Toronto. And these two gay guys were walking by and they turned to her and said, "You're much too pretty to be a lesbian."
Yeah, because only ugly girls get to be lesbians. Yeah. I was a social worker in Owen Sound, frontline welfare worker. And I was out. So I'd come in every day and picture of my partner and I would be turned down on my desk. Or other things like that would be happening, right? So I had a lot of people approach me and to talk about, you know, lesbian stuff in the community. So I was fortunate that way. I just refused never to be closeted. But
I must have taken a lot of strength.
Probably more like insanity. Yeah, I never looked at it that way. I had young children and I couldn't raise these children and be a hypocrite at the same time. I had to do that, and that worked. I mean, it worked for me. I feel like I accomplished a lot of good things.
From what I can tell, I think what that also allowed is it created a point of contact. Mm-hmm. Like, you were that point of contact for people. And that really goes back to my question of, you know, how do you tap into these networks? And it sounds like both of you, in your own ways, were that point of contact.
Did that, yeah.
So maybe we're looking at it with rose-coloured glasses of, oh, these lovely women taking, you know, new lesbians under their wing. And, you know, maybe it's not all rainbows and meat cakes. Maybe it's...
Beefcakes.
Beefcakes, sorry. So when and how does it go wrong?
Chicken hocks.
How does it go wrong?
Yeah, how does a lesbian potluck go wrong?
Oh, Lord.
Well, there may be alcohol involved.
Yeah, that'll do it every time.
There may be too much alcohol involved.
And there has to be at least one fight between a couple.
Please.
At a potluck.
I'd be like going to the coral reef and not having a fight.
A current couple, not exes?
A current couple.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
always.
Oh gosh.
Always.
Absolutely.
In front
always.
Of everybody or out back?
Oh, well, either or. Maybe
outside.
A little bit of both.
Usually outside.
Either
yeah.
or. It starts inside.
Is it not a success unless there's like at least one breakup? Like, is that...
I don't, they don't break up.
No, they don't break up.
They're just having a little scrap about something.
Yeah. Or they come in and they're pissed.
At each other.
Mad. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they had an argument in the car. Mm-hmm. Because the butch driver didn't want directions on how to get to the house. And then I thought I told you to... And they come in and you can cut the air with a knife, you know? They start out bad.
And they can be very flirtatious. You can't put a bunch of women in
love
a room
a flirt.
Without flirting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets misread, misinterpreted, and all of those good things. And it's fun while it lasts.
I saw you smiling at her. I saw that.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's wonderful.
I
because, especially if you're a parent, you spend all day wiping snotty little noses and poopy little bums and getting them out to the door in school and blah, 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 blah. And just to have women's space is magnificent. It's a wonderful feeling. Our house was often the house, you know, in sound for the potlucks. And we had a full attic loft. So that was completely set up for all the kids. There was sleeping bags, there was TV, there's videos, VHS. There was all this stuff up there, and that's where they had their thing. And the kids loved getting together because these kids are marginalized kids. These are children of lesbian parents, whether partnered or not. So these children have it pretty rough at school sometimes, and they have it, you know, and so for them to be able to all get together every month or every couple of weeks is so good for them as well. And then the women were doing their own thing downstairs.
And I think it normalizes same-sex
absolutely.
Relationships
yeah.
for kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
My son, we live downtown Ottawa, and my youngest son, who is now 30, he was 3 months when I left the marriage. So he'd never known any other life. He'd never known his dad. He'd never known anything else except women raising children. And whether it was a partner or whether it was just women. And we had a couple of gay fellas who lived a couple of doors down from us. And whenever one particular would go and get a haircut or go to the barber's or just go for a walk, he'd come and get Jacob. And he'd say, yeah, I'm going up to the get a haircut. Would you like me to take him? So he was like his auntie, like you say. But he was like the big brother that could come and do things to give my son sort of male influence and male bonding time and all this wonderful in what I consider to be the safest possible way. And it wouldn't even occur to me to think that was unsafe in any way because this was a good friend of ours. And I trusted him, yeah. So it was a good experience. But when he first started school, he was only in grade 3. Another little boy came up to him because he told everybody he had a lesbian mom. He just, you know, and I tried to say, you know, maybe not first day in.
Yeah.
But, you know, and another little boy came up to him who never spoke and said, I have two moms. Yeah, and they became best buds. You know? So that gave him a chance because my son.
How did they not meet at a potluck like that?
Well, because his mums were going to somebody else's potlucks.
Oh, I see.
They were in the music crowd, you know, with the guitars and the drums. Because there's another whole lesbian thing: is you bring your instrument, you know, not your Not those instruments.
I actually have been to one of these parties.
But drums and a guitar and you sit around and you do the music thing.
A little circle, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, let's say folks listening are besotted with the idea of running a lesbian potluck. What would you tell...
A lesbian potluck or a lesbian-style potluck?
Well, let's just...
If you, as a listener, are not yourself a lesbian, it would be really weird
to do a lesbian potluck,
yeah.
Well, let's start with, there's a lesbian listening, and she wants to do a potluck. How do you make that happen? We've mentioned the rules. First of all, no exes. Check the invite list.
No,
well, that would be hard.
Uncivil exes. Because exes happen. It has to be civil exes.
No exes without checking in with each of the exes. Yeah.
Or exes of exes.
Oh my gosh, I can't even.
Well, I hadn't thought about the exes of the exes.
That's what got us in trouble. Right,
then we cancelled. Yeah.
How far back do you go before it's okay?
This was
one generation.
Yeah.
So you've got the X's, and then the X's of the X's.
That's correct.
Wow. Right.
So the X is fine, but the X of the X is not fine.
Oh. So you want to have a potluck. Well, first of all, you phone a couple of close people, and you tell them. And you get some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have a list of people.
You're women. Make a committee.
I haven't seen Mary in years.
Yeah.
Get on the phone and
call
say.
Call me. We'll do lunch.
So is that it? You think, you know, what's a lesbian I've not seen in eons that I'd love to have a natter with over some wine? And you give them a ring. And do you say, hi,
remember
Jane,
when?
You know, would you want to come over for a potluck? Why don't you invite your partner Sue? Oh, you broke up. Okay, I'll craft Sue off the list. Mm-hmm. You know, is that essentially how it would go?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
would it be for the young people? They may just make an event page on Facebook.
And
but
then
it wouldn't be
successful.
I don't believe it would be as successful.
When I lived in Toronto, actually, when I lived downtown in Toronto, my roommate was lesbian. And a couple times I came home and it was just floor to ceiling with women.
Mm-hmm.
All drunk. And it was very spontaneous. People just like texting each other.
Texting. Oh,
there was no vetting. And you could tell there was no vetting because I remember once I came home and I had work to do. So I was in my room.
Yeah.
Not trying to alienate them because I actually got along with her friends better than she did. She was kind of a toxic woman. But anyway, that's a different issue. And I was trying to get work done. And I swear it was every 5 minutes I would overhear somebody say, and it was different every time, somebody say, what the hell was that supposed to mean? And it was just like constant. And then eventually I went up to my roommate's girlfriend, Danny, who was lovely, but like if she lived in the countryside, she would have been a mechanic. Like, not to stereotype, but she was that woman. She was absolutely lovely though, very, very salt of the earth type. You'd be like, Danny, I'm trying to get work done. She'd be like, oh, Sebastian, I'm so sorry. But you know, we got people here we never really liked. They just showed up. They were friends of friends. They just came in through the door. We didn't know how to get them to leave. And it's like...
And is that how she really spoke?
Well, this is a slight exaggeration.
She was the woman who went through the Tim Hortons drive-thru and got called sir. Don't laugh. I had a partner like that. One or two.
But she was also the kind that, like, your car breaks down and she's like, you got a problem with your belt, give me some pantyhose. And she'd just get in there and, like, two twist ties, pantyhose, and a rubber band. Your engine's working.
Yeah, go for it.
But yeah, no, the...
So the vetting is important.
The spontaneous parties, they can go really
bad. Yes, they can.
Mm. And the thing is that, at least at that one party, when it was, like, every 5 minutes, it was, you know, what the hell is that supposed to mean? And it was... people who had drunk too much, and it was Toronto, and they did have a lesbian bar, but it wasn't doing very well at that point in time, so they're trying to find alternative space. And it was basically just people bringing whomever, not really thinking of who they were bringing. And it wasn't so much about exes, it was about women who everybody in the room knew. She was the kind of woman who would say, what the hell was that supposed to mean?
So we... when we did our parties, we were very particular about who we invited.
Yeah.
There were rounds of invitation. You know, we'd find, you know, this number of people that we absolutely wanted to come, and then if not, you know, not didn't hear back from anybody, then we'd extend
the
pool.
You go to the next circle.
We don't tell people that they're an option C invite. But,
no, never.
Yeah, but
never.
You know.
Right.
And I mean, so yeah, I mean, and I think that might be something that's maybe lost in modern
events. I think you're right.
Mm. I think overall there are a lot of lessons that can be learned from lesbian potlucks. And I think there's...
Well, for community building, certainly,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, though, that's all we've run out of time.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
It has. Now, we're going to play out with a song by Kaylee Lang. And it's not going to be Wash McLean... Oh,
Constant
Craving.
Constant Craving.
It's going to be the Big Bone Girl from Southern Alberta. Or not.
Is that an actual song by
Kaylee? Yes.
Well, then we're going out with that track. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And Constant Craving got vetoed. So we're going with this other one.
Oh, well, we played it too many times. And I've told you, she did years of country western. Very high energy.
Absolutely.
Bubbly. Very happy country western for years.
Yeah, and then she got sad. But then she got happy again.
Don't forget, Kaylee Lang.
Maybe she went to a bad potluck.
Kaylee Lang is touring for the 25th anniversary of her album, which had Constant Craving on it. So make sure to check out if she's in your area. That's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for hosting us
in
your beautiful home. And
next time, potluck.
Absolutely.
You can bring your beefcake.
Keep an eye on us on Facebook. See if you get the phone call to join our next potluck. That's all for now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You just wouldn't call her small. You can't bet every Saturday night she'd be headed for the Legion Hall. Put her blue dress on and she'd curl her hair. Oh, she's been waiting all week. With a bounce in her step and a wiggle in her walk, she'd be swinging down the street. You could tell she was ready by the look in her eyes. She slipped into the crowd. She walked with grace and she entered the place. Yeah, the Big Bone Girl was proud. Now people would come from miles around together to dance. But when the Big Bone Girl came shuffling in, she'd hold them in a trance. Well, look at this, she was ready by the look in her eyes. She slipped in through the crowd. She walked with grace as she entered the place. Yeah, the Big Bone.